Today's shiur is Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis by the Mishnah at the beginning, at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Shofar Rosh Hashanah. The Shofar Rosh Hashanah, of course, as we've been learning, primary mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is to blow the shofar. But teaches us the Mishnah, Shofar Rosh Hashanah, Ein Mavirim Lav HaTchum. We don't go through the Tchum. We don't go through the tchum to listen to the shofar. As we know, the halacha is one is not allowed to go past 2,000 amos on Shabbos, and the Mishnah teaches us that we're not allowed to walk past the tchum to go listen to the shofar, nor are we allowed to bring a shofar from chutz to tchum. Name of fachlin a sagal. If on top of the shofar rubble fell, one may not move the shovel, even though the isser is only an isser muksa, stones are muksa, still one may not move the stones to get the shofar. Like Oilin B'ilon, we're not allowed to climb up a tree. On Shabbos, the loch is that we're not allowed to climb up a tree, that we, because we're concerned, Chazal taught us in Masechta Beyah, that if we're going to climb up the tree, we may come to rip off a branch, nor may we ride on an animal. Again, a halacha that we learned in Masechta Beyah, that one may not ride on an animal on Shabbos, because Chazal were concerned that if you're going to ride on the animal on Shabbos, you may pull off a branch to use it to move. One may not swim on the water. Again, because Chazal were concerned that if one will come to swim on Shabbos, on Yom Tov or Shabbos, he may come to make a chavish shel shaitan, he may come to make a raft. We can't cut the shofar, off the animal's head on Shabbos. Bein bedover shumashim shvus, and all of these halacha are also whether we're doing something which is only awesome at Rabbanon, or whether what we're doing involves an essay d'oraisa, If somebody wants to put into the shofar wine or water, that makes the sound of the shofar come out better, that is mutter. Because even though making a keli on Shabbos is Usur because of Tikkun Mana, Makab Patish, which is an Issa Deraisa, our Mishnah is teaching us, says Rashi, that just making that the sound that will emanate from your shofar will sound better is not included in the category of Tikkun Mana. Another pshat that the Ritva suggests, that the Mishnah is teaching us that that's not considered Uvdud Nechol. It's not considered that it's something that we do on Shabbos, and as we learned many times, that Uvdun Dechol is also on Yontif. The Sfas Emes says a very bechidish. The Sfas Emes says, our Mishnah that taught us that we're allowed to do this on Shabbos, this adding different liquids to the shofar to make the sound that comes out sound better, says the Sasemis, we're only talking about a shofar that we could get a sound out of that shofar already. But if we're talking about a shofar where we can't get the sound out at all, so that means we're making the shofar usable with putting these liquids into the shofar, that would be usur. The Rebbe Yoshua disagrees. Rebbe Yoshua says, if the Mishnah says that we're allowed to do this, and the Mishnah doesn't differentiate what are the circumstances of the shofar, it seems that it's mutter under all circumstances. Continues the Mishnah, we don't stop the children from blowing the shofar Rosh Hashanah, even though blowing the shofar under normal circumstances is not permitted on a yontif, unless there's a mitzvah to do so. Here, on Shabbos, on yontif, Rosh Hashanah, we don't stop the children from blowing the shofar. Avil must ask him. So posh pshat in the Mishnah is that it's even something that we teach them to do. And the Rishonim disagree. What does the Mishnah teaches us? That the Rashi says that all the Mishnah is allowing is that we should show the Ketanim what needs to be done in order to blow the shofar. But not that the Mishnah means to tell us that we're actually allowed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's the opinion of Rashi. Other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Menayach, says that when the Mishnah says, I'm asking him, I'm at Shayomadu, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that we're allowed to even participate in helping them blow the shofar if that, in order to train them how to blow. And 10 teaches us the Mishnah, Hamas Asek, somebody who blew the shofar without any kavanah, La Yotza, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Tekiya Shofar, from Shemeya Minish Asek, La Yotza. And somebody who hears from such a person wasn't Yotza. So of course the Rishonim asked the question, if the Mas'asek wasn't Yotza, so it goes without saying that somebody who heard from the Mas'asek would not be Yotza. What is the Mishnah teaching us by telling us this halacha? So the Rishonim explained that the Mishnah is teaching us that if somebody was Mas'asek, so the individual who was Mas'asek did not have any intention to be Yotza the mitzvah shofar. But I, who am listening to the Mas'asek, had intention to be Yotza. So we would think that since I had in mind to be Yotza from the Mas'asek, so the fact that he's not Yotza should not have any relevance, and I can be Yotza the mitzvah. Teaches us the Mishnah that no, if the person who blew the shofar is a Mas'asek, even though I am not a Mas'asek, I cannot be Yotza from him. Our Mishnah taught us that we're not allowed to be over any Aveira, even a Drabonon, to be Yotza the mitzvah of Tekiya Shofar. But ask the Gemara, don't we have a rule of Esei Doicha Loisasei, and that an Esei supersedes a Loisasei? And if an Esei supersedes a Loisasei, ought the halacha not to be that we should be allowed to blow the shofar, even though if it involves, or get the shofar, even though it involves being over a loisasei, my tama, answers, says the Gemara, shofar, blowing the mitzvah shofar, you fulfill a mitzvah sasei, the mitzvah sasei is yom teruah yir lechem. However, yontif, but doing melacha on yontif, is an essay v'loisasei. And even though, as we just said, there is a rule that essay doicha loisasei, essay is not doicha loisasei vasei. And therefore, the halacha is, we can't do any aveira to be mekayim mitzvah shofar. And then, we take this din one step further. Because our Mishnah, certainly the first part of the Mishnah, as we're going to discuss, mentioned many cases that the aveira being violated is an issa d'rabbanan. Still, say explained Rishonim, Chacham also chizlik d'vrayim divrei Torah, yosim divrei Torah. Chazal treated their halachas even more seriously, or as seriously as divrei Torah. So, if by mitzvahs a say d'raisa we're learning now, even when we're to blow the shofar, we have to violate a d'raisa. We're not allowed to. Chazal fashioning their rules after the d'raisa have the same rule. And the Ritva takes this a step further. He says that when we look at the different halachas that Chazal instituted on Yontif, he explains they were all instituted as a shvus, that we should rest on Shabbos, not do everything that we normally do. Once we understand that they involve a shvus, so then shvus doesn't make a difference if it's a deraisa or derabbanan. But then I saw the Rishonim ask a question, that even though we say, esei doicha loisasei, the rule is, even if it was just esei doicha loisasei, not like our Gemara said, it's really esei doicha loisasei vasei, ask the Rishonim, the rule that we say, esei doicha loisasei, was only said when the esei was only said when as I'm doing the say, I'm being over the loisasei. But if we think about our Gemara, The essay comes before the lois essay. I'm violating the lois essay as I'm doing whatever our Mishnah spoke about. And the essay, I'm only going to fulfill later when I do the mitzvah. So ask the Rishonim, this isn't the case of Esa Doicha Lois Esay. And some Rishonim, the Ritva says, that the Gemara could have indeed asked that question, that this should not be considered Esa Doicha Lois Esay for that reason. But I saw that the Shibula Eleket says that when we're dealing with an essay, the Rabbin, the case that we're speaking about, blowing shofar for a tzibur, the rule that Esa Doicha Lois Esay only applies that when you're doing the essay, you can't be over the lois essay, says the Shibuli Leket, that's not by an essay the Rabbim. By an essay the Rabbim, we say essay doicha lois essay, even if they're both not happening at the same time. And therefore, the Gemara cannot have offered the suggestion that that's the reason why we don't say essay doicha lois essay. Rather, the Gemara said, the reason we don't say essay doicha lois essay here is because it's a lois essay v'asay. V'loy oilam belilam, we learned in the Mishnah, we can't climb up a tree. V'loy roichon agave behema, nor can we ride an animal to be mekayim mitzvah shofar. Ask the Gemara, hash the derabbanan amrit loy. If the Mishnah began and said that we may not violate any isurei derabbanan in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tekiya shofar, so then the end of the Mishnah, where it speaks about being over deraisa, certainly we're not allowed to be over. Answers the Gemara, correct. But the way to understand our Mishnah is Zuve and Tzarech Loi Mezuk Tani. Often we find in Shas that Chazal frame Mishnayis in a fashion where the first halacha wasn't needed to be said, but the second halacha wasn't needed to be said, but it's said anyway. We learned further in the Mishnah, Ain't Chayt Chanesai, we're not allowed to cut the shofar, not Beim Davishu Mishum Shvus, whether doing so involves being over the Rabbanan, or Bein B'davish Shum Melois Esay, whether it involves being over a Sederaisa. And explains the Gemara. When is it a Shvus? Kigoy Magla. If somebody used a sickle. A sickle is not usually what's used to cut the shofar. And we know whenever we do a malacha, not in the fashion that it's normally done, it's only considered an Isid Rabbanan. Lois Esay, when is it a lois essay? Sakina, when you use a knife. A knife is something that's not usually used to cut the shofar. And therefore, if somebody cuts the shofar that way, he's over the rabbanon. I did see that the Rif has a girsa that's just the opposite. The girsa of the Rif is that using a sickle is what the way they usually cut off the shofar. But a knife is not something that's used to cut the shofar. So ask the Gemara the same question we had a moment ago. Hashtem shem shvus amrit loy. If we're not allowed to be over the Rabbanon, whichever pshat we take, but if we're not allowed to be over the Rabbanon in order to get the shofar, so then, then certainly we're not allowed to be over Mitzvah Leisa say. How do we understand this Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Zuve and Tzarech Loy Mezuktani. Indeed, that there's no, that once we learn that we're not allowed to be over the Rabbanon, we're certainly not allowed to be over a Daraisa. The question is, the Mishnah said the din of the Braisa said the din of the Rabbanon, the din of the Daraisa is understood. But the Sef Sechama makes a very important point. He says there is a nafkamina if what's being violated is an Issa Daraisa or an Issa Rabbanon. Because the Sef Sechama says that if one violated an Issa Daraisa in accomplishing something on Shabbos Yontif, he can't have a no from that object that came to him through violating an Issa D'Raisa. But if one only violated an Issa D'Rabbanan, of course, as we're learning here, one may not violate an Issa D'Rabbanan, the halacha still remains that b'di'evid, that you could use it. So in other words, if one, in order to get the shofar, violated an Issa the Raisa, he would not be allowed to use that shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But if one violated an Issa the Rabbanan to get to that shofar, but since he already violated that Issa, he would be allowed to use that shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We learned in the Mishnah, as we explained it, Avam Roitz Lutu Techemayin or Yayin, if somebody wants to put into a shofar wine or water, Yitain. Says the Gemara, Mayin or Yayin in, water or wine may be put into the shofar, meriglayim loy. So there's a machlokes, the mefarshim, what is the definition of meriglayim? Some explain the meriglayim means urine. However, I saw that there's some that explain that it can't be urine. No one would assume that that urine should be allowed to be put into the shofar that were going to be used to blow for mitzvah. So they explained that there was a spring that was called meriglayim. And even though it was just regular water, but since it had such a repulsive name, meriglayim, I saw that the shita brings that there was an herb that they used to use for cleaning that was called meriglayim. And again, because it's so repulsive, that's why you're not allowed to use that for the cleaning of the shofar. Says the Gemara, Masnis Mani, who is the opinion of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Abishol, he represents the opinion of Abishol. The Tanya Abishol, Oimer Mayin Oyayin Mutter, we may use Mayin Oyayin, but Ketelech Tzach Tzachoy, to make that the sound that emanates from the shofar should be better. Meiriglaim Osir, but we can't use Meiriglaim. Now you covered the various Pshatim, either because it is urine, or even if it's not urine, the name is a name of something that we don't want to use for a shofar. We learned in the Mishnah, we don't prevent the children from blowing the shofar from Rosh Hashanah. Hanashim, it seems that children, we don't stop them from blowing. Hanashim, women, ma'akvin. Ask the Gemara, v'tanya, we've learned in a brisa, we don't stop the women or the children from blowing in yontif. So how do we reconcile these two halachas? Answer the Gemara, amabai lo kasha. Harab Yehuda, our Mishnah, according to Rashi, is following the opinion that if somebody who does a mitzvah that he's not obligated to do, they're over bal toisef, and therefore women who are potter from the mitzvah of shofar, if they do blow the shofar, they're over bal toisef. The Marsha asks that that isn't the explanation about toisef. About Toysef, asked the Marsha means that if I have a mitzvah, which I am performing, and then I perform the mitzvah in a fashion that I'm more than I'm supposed to. In other words, we're supposed to have four parashiyos in the tefillin, and I put five parashiyos in the tefillin. How could Rashi therefore say if a woman who's exempt from blowing the shofar will be allowed to, should be over Baal Toysef? So, because of this question, the Sifsei Chamim says that when Rashi says here Baal Toysef, he doesn't mean Baal Toysef in the traditional sense. What it means to say is that women will say, if we're allowed to do all the different activities for the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even though we're exempt from blowing the shofar, what going to happen, says Rashi, according to the Sifsei Chamim, is they're going to come to do things that they're not allowed to do. And that's the Baal Toysef. What the Mishnah means to say is that what we're concerned is by acting this way, you may come to do something that is Baal Toysef. So, says the Gemara, V'tanya Ema, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, who's concerned for Baal Toysef, will not allow women to blow. Ha, our Mishnah represents the brisa that says the women are allowed to blow represents the opinion of Rosh Shimon. The Tanya, the pasuk says, where do we see the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? The Torah says, "Daba bnei Yisrael v'mat aleihem adam ki yakrim hem karbin l'Hashem." So the Torah speaks about a person bringing a carbon, and the pasuk says that when you bring a carbon. We have to do mitzvah smicha. But the Gemara teaches us in more than one place, that only men do smicha, not women. Even though women are exempt, they may do smicha. And that's why, just like they hold that women are exempt from smicha, they may do smicha, here too, they may do smicha. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Taisa's approach to the Gemara is different. Taisa says that, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, one may really not blow the shofar on Shabbos Yontif. Only in Rosh Hashanah we're allowed to blow the shofar because that's the mitzvah of the day. And our Mishnah expands that even when we're not fulfilling the mitzvah, we're allowed to teach the children how to blow the shofar. Says Tosfos that that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Since normally one may not blow the shofar, women who are adults may not blow the shofar for sure. Rabbi Yehuda told that they may. But here we learned the machlokes Tanakam, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Shimon, may women do a mitzvah that they're not obligated to do. So Rishonim explain that even that we paskin like Rabbi Yosef Shimon, and the halacha is that women may do mitzvahs even though they're mitzvahs they're not obligated to do. And there are different rayas Tosfos uses to his to this concept. One raya is that the Gemara says the Michal Bashol, the wife of David, wore tefillin. But we know that women are exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin. So we see that even though they're exempt from mitzvah tefillin, they're allowed to do a mitzvah. And then the question comes up, a very big machloikus, Tosfos and the Rambam. If a woman does do a mitzvah that she's not allowed to do, can't she make a bracha? So Tosfos quotes the Gemara Masechta the Kedushin, that Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Yosef, who was unfortunately blind, originally used to say that somebody that's not mitzvah v'oisa, somebody who's not obligated to do a mitzvah, is greater than somebody who's mitzvah v'oisa, somebody who's supposed to do a mitzvah. And therefore, he was very satisfied because even though he was blind and he was exempt from many mitzvahs, the fact that he did mitzvahs made him very happy. But then, when he heard that God mitzvah v'oisa, Misha ena mitzvah v'oisa, then he was very upset because he was an ena mitzvah v'oisa. Says Tosfos, if he couldn't make a bracha, so even if he holds God she'ena mitzvah v'oisa, if he held that somebody who's not obligated to do a mitzvah is greater because he's voluntarily doing something that he's not obligated to do, but he would be over, but he's not allowed to make a bracha. So why was he so satisfied? That from here we see, says Tosfos, that somebody who's not mitzvah v'oisa still can make a bracha. And therefore, says Tosfos, that would be the same by a woman, that even though she's not obligated to do a mitzvah, she could still, if she does it, she could still do the mitzvah. The Tosfos then says that we can't compare a woman to a blind person. Because a blind person, albeit in certain circumstances, is part of a mitzvah, but he's mechuyev in those mitzvahs midrabbanim. Whereas by mitzvahs aseishas man groma, women are not just exempt from those mitzvahs midaraisa, but women are exempt from those mitzvahs even midrabbanim. So the fact that they're, so that makes them different than a blind person. But the halacha is that Tosfos paskins that women can do mitzvah seishas man groma and make a bracha. The Rambam, and that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, say that they can make a bracha because the nusach of a bracha is asher kedishanu b'mitzvaysav b'tzivanu. So very important, an element of the bracha is that we say b'tzivanu, that we were commanded. Women are not commanded. And as I said, the Rebbe Tam paskins that women can make a bracha, and that's why that women can be mekayim the mitzvah and make the bracha. The Rambam holds that they can't say v'tzivanu and the potter. How do we explain the opinions that say that women make a bracha? The opinion of the Ramah of Rebbe Tam, if we have to say v'tzivanu. So some say v'tzivanu refers to the men. And since it's a mitzvah that men have, women can also say v'tzivanu. Others explain that it's not that women are totally exempt. The Torah says that they don't have to do the mitzvah, but if they want to do the mitzvah, they may do the mitzvah. And since if they want to do the mitzvah, they may do the mitzvah, that's why they could say v'tzivanu. Rabbi Kiveger, however, points out that today, most women have accepted the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, and says to Rabbi Kiveger that Bizman Azeh, women, as far as blowing shofar, should be viewed as if the mechuyev to blow shofar. And therefore, says Rav Akiva Eiger, b'zman hazeh, women are not, have no excuse, and they have to listen to Kiyas Shofar. The Shagas Arya says that even though, as we just learned, women have accepted upon themselves the mitzvah of Kiyas Shofar, he says that a man is forbidden to carry a shofar through a Rosh Rabim in order that the woman should be able to be Mekayim mitzvah shofar. He says that the only time one is allowed to carry in Rosh Rabim on Yom Tov is when he's doing it L'tzarech Eichel Nefesh, when he's doing it L'tzarech Mitzvah. But if a woman is really not Mechuyiv in the mitzvah shofar, so the halacha is you can't blow the shofar. You can't carry and be over the issur of carrying for a woman. Most Paiskim disagree, and they say just like we're allowed to carry the Dalaminim home from shul on Sukkos in order that women should be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Dalaminim, even though they're also exempt from the mitzvah of Dalaminim. It's a mitzvah say Shazma Grama. So too they say is the halacha shofar, even though they're exempt from the mitzvah of Tekiya Shofar, we're allowed to carry it once they're accepted upon themselves, as Rav Akiva Eiger taught us, we're allowed to carry it on their behalf as well. We learned in the Mishnah that we don't prevent the children from blowing the shofar. Not only don't we prevent them, but we learned in the Mishnah, Avamus asking Imam at Shiel Madu. We work with them that they should learn to draw, to do whatever it's needed, that they should be trained in blowing the shofar. Comments Rabbi Lazar. I'm Rabbi Lazar, I feel it b'Shabbos. Even if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, and as we've learned, on Shabbos the halacha is we don't blow the shofar. The halacha is, Rabbi Lazar says, we could train children on Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos to blow the shofar. That, so most Mefarshim explain that which Shabbos is Rabbi Lazar being makel on, being lenient. He's being lenient when Shabbos is on Rosh Hashanah. However, there are Rishonim that of the, because since, and the reason is, because since we learned earlier in our Masechta that when Shabbos falls on Rosh Hashanah, under certain circumstances, we do blow the shofar, we said, b'fnei bezdin, in front of a bezdin. So that's why when Shabbos falls on Rosh Hashanah, we're allowed to blow. But however, there are Rishonim that say that when Shabbos falls on Rosh Hashanah, we're never allowed to blow the shofar, even for the children, because we shouldn't come to make a mistake that we're allowed to blow the shofar under their circumstances. And they explain that Rabbi Lazar is referring to a Shabbos which is not Rosh Hashanah. So since we're training the children to blow the shofar, and it's not going to become to make a mistake that we're going to think that we're allowed to blow the shofar on such a day, that's why we're allowed to teach them on such a day. But if it's a Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, where there's a concern that if we teach them to blow the shofar, they're going to come to blow the shofar on a day that they're not allowed to blow the shofar, there even children should not be trained. Tanya Mihachi, was asking, so even on Shabbos, we're allowed to do so. So ask the Gemara, we need to understand what is being said here. We teach them, teach children to blow the shofar. But then the Braisa says, we don't hold them back. We don't prevent them from blowing. We don't go tell them to blow. So how do we understand what is or isn't permitted on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Can, because Shigil L'chinuch, a child who is obligated to blow the shofar, such a child, he's already up to the point of chinuch, such a child, we allow him to blow shofar in on Shabbos. Such a child we don't teach. Rashi explained the Gemara. A katan shegiel lechinuch. So we want him to blow the shofar. Then we teach him even on Shabbos. A child who hasn't yet gotten to that obligation, we don't teach him to blow the shofar on Shabbos. The Ri But there are Rishonim that say just the opposite. They say, a katan shloigia l'chinuch, we're allowed to teach. Why? Because, again, very much in line with what we learned earlier. Since the katan shloigia l'chinuch, we're not concerned that he's come to make a mistake that he could blow shofar on Shabbos, and therefore, we teach him to blow the shofar. But when it comes to a katan shloigia l'chinuch, so part of our chinuch obligation is to make sure that that this child should know that you're not allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Since that's part of our obligation to make sure that this child knows he's not allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos, so such a child we shouldn't allow to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Of course, Tosfos asked the question, things that are not allowed to be done on Shabbos, how are we allowed to teach a child whether he's gil l'chinuch or loy gil l'chinuch to do? So Tosfos answers, as we mentioned earlier, shofar is different than other isurim. Why is shofar different than other isurim? Because shofar, under certain circumstances, as we've said, we're allowed to blow on Shabbos. So therefore, since shofar is not something that we're allowed to do, not allowed to do on Shabbos, that's why we could be more lenient when it comes to the chinuch of blowing the shofar. The Rishonim also discuss what is the shear. At what point is a child considered higil l'chinuch? The Gemara in Masech Erechin discusses at what age do a child have to begin fasting, 8 or 9 or 9 or 10. And some say that whatever is said, some Rishonim say whatever shear is said over there is also the same halach over here. But then there are Rishonim that suggest that the two halachas do not travel together. Because every mitzvah has its own age, and therefore the halacha is that a child who is, that by shofar it could be a child that's younger, is able to understand the basic concept of listening to a shofar, and therefore he should hear, he could be even younger and ready to be considered higil chinuch. So I saw a very interesting question. There's somebody who could blow the shofar, and he has two individuals who have to hear the shofar. One is his son, who is mechuyev and chinuch. He already has to train his son to do a mitzvah. And the other is another adult who is mechuyev to hear the kiyah shofar. So the question is, and I only could blow for one of them, there's not that much time left in the day, or whatever the situation is, who should I blow for? On one hand, we can make the argument that this is my son, and I have a chiyuv chinuch for my children, and therefore I should blow for him, even though he's a katan. On the other hand, an argument could be made, as we've learned and will learn, that when we speak about the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, there's a concept of kol yisrael ravim zeh lazeh. And that's why I could blow the shofar for somebody who, even though I already heard the mitzvah shofar. So maybe, since the person I'm blowing for is an adult, and as we just said, we have the concept of Kol Yisrael, Arayim Zelazeh, I should be allowed to blow for him. So Rabbi Yosha paskins that the chiyuv of teaching your children, even though the chiyuv of, that's only chiyuv derabbanan, supersedes the chiyuv of blowing for somebody else, even though he said Kol Yisrael, Arayim Zelazeh. And Rabbi Yosha explains why. Because although we do in fact have the concept of Kol Yisrael, a Raven Zeh Lazeh, but that isn't my particular chiv. It's a chiv that every Jew has, that every other Jew should fulfill the mitzvah. But it's not a personal chiv of mine. But the chinuch of my children, the chiv of my children, is a chiv that I have. And since it's a chiv that is incumbent on me, that's why the halacha is that the I should blow for the katan. But then Rabbi Yosha says, maybe the katan should blow for himself. Why do I have to blow for the katan? Why does the adult have to blow for the katan? The katan has to, can maybe blow for himself. So Rabbi Yosha says a very important point, which is critical to the mitzvah chinuch. Whenever we speak, says Rabbi Yosha, about the mitzvah chinuch, the way to understand the mitzvah chinuch is that chinuch has to be conducted in a fashion that the mitzvah will be fulfilled. The example we've often given is that when somebody when somebody is mechanech, teaches his children to fulfill the mitzvah of dalaminim. So when you teach your child to fulfill the mitzvah of dalaminim, you're supposed to buy him a kosher lulav, even though he's a katan. But the halacha tells us that we should, when we train a child to do a mitzvah, we have to train him in the fashion that the mitzvah is being fulfilled as the Torah wants the mitzvah to be fulfilled. And if those dalaminim that I'm giving the katan are not kosher dalaminim, then I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Similarly, the blowing of a katan is obviously not considered the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar. And since it's not considered the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, if the child blows for himself, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. And we haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of chinuch. And therefore, when we mechanech a child, we have to be mechanech the child to blow, when we blow for him, that he's yoytz to the mitzvah. We learned in the Mishnah that misasik, if somebody was blowing the shofar without kavona, lo yotza, he wasn't yotza the mitzvah. It's asked the Gemara, hatikei l'shir, if somebody is blowing the shofar just to make sound for music, yotza. Lema m'saylei l'rova, this seems to be a raya to what Rava taught us earlier in our Masechta on Dav Chav Ches. Dama Rava, hatikei l'shir, yotza. And that's why Yoytza, and as we learned, the basis for Rava's explanation was because you don't need to have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, even though he was a mitakeh l'shir, it doesn't make a difference. Answers the Gemara, it's not a raya. Because Dilma, tekeh l'shir, nami misasa karle. If you're blowing it for that purpose, it's not even considered that you're blowing. The halacha is that the reason, explains Duran, that Tekei L'Shir, Rava said is Yoytza, because he was intending to get the proper sounds out of the shofar. He might not have intended to fulfill the mitzvah, but he did intend to get the proper sounds out of the shofar. But an individual who's not even intending to get the proper sounds out of the shofar, that is not considered a tekiah at all, and that's why it's not a good comparison. We learned furthermore, Hashemeim and a Masasik, and if somebody heard from a Masasik, he's also lo yotza. He's not yotza the mitzvah. Aval ha mishmeya min hashmeya la'atzmai. If somebody hears the shofar from somebody who's blowing the shofar on his own behalf, and that person has a mind to be yotza the mitzvah for himself, but he did not have a mind to be mitzi me, yotza. Ask the Gemara, isn't this contrary to what we learned from Rabbi Zeira early in our Masechta? You have a mind to be mitzimi when you're blowing the shofar. Answers the Gemara, it could be that our Mishnah will be consistent with Rabbi Zeira. Dilma, either the Tana Reisha Masasik, since the beginning of the Mishnah spoke about a Masasik, Tana Nami Sefer Masasik. But the halacha is that just hearing the shofar from somebody who's blowing the shofar, but he doesn't have a mind to blow the shofar for me, the halacha is I'm not yoytza the mitzvah. Our Mishnah now begins to delve into the halachas of blowing the shofar, the sounds. Say the tekiyas, how do we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Sholosh, we have Malchiyah, Zichronis, and Shofars, and by each time we have Sholosh. We have three tekiyas. Before the Trua, the Torah HaKadosha says, Yoim Terua Yulachem. And we're going to learn the Mitzvah Shem in our Shia now, that Chazal were not quite certain what is the definition of a trua. Is the definition of a trua what we call a trua, the short sounds, or is the definition of a trua shvarim, longer sounds? And therefore, midaraisa, you just have to blow the trua, whatever that should be. And therefore, to be yoytza the mitzvah of the raisa, you do it for Malchiyah, Zichronis, and Shofaris, shalosh. We have a tekiah before whatever is the trua, we have a tekiah after, and we have it three times. Continues the Mishnah. Shir tekiah kishalosh truas. The Gemara will explain how long is the shir tekiah. The shir trua, the shir of the trua, is kishalosh bavis. The definition of Yevavos, as we're going to see, we just mentioned that there are two pshatim, what constitutes a trua. A Yevava is what is the short sound, and there's a and the Mishnah says that the shear of a trua is kshalosh yevavos. Kshalosh yevavos is three short sounds. So according to Rashi, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of trua, you only have to make three short sounds. However, Tosfos says it means three times three short sounds, which is a time to, which means that you have to make nine short sounds. Taka b'shoina. So as we said, before every trua, you have to make a tekiya. So you made the tekiya, then you blew the trua, and now you're going to actually have to make two tekiyas. One tekiya to be the tekiya after the trua, and one tekiya to be the tekiya before the next trua. So instead of stopping, what you did is taka b'rishayna, you blew a trua, and then the tekiya after the trua, you made it long enough for two tekiyas. The halacha is ein b'yodei ala achas. The halacha is it's not considered you only yoitza one. So most rishonim are of the opinion ein b'yodei ala achas means that it's considered that you did a tekiya after the trua, but it's not considered as if you did a tekiya to precede your next trua. However, there are rishonim that say that you're not even yoitza a tekiya, either one of the two tekiyas that you're supposed to not make. And what the Mishnah means to say is, ein b'yodei ala achas, that the only tekiya that you have fulfilled the mitzvah with is the tekiya that you blew before the trua. And that's why the Mishnah had mentioned tekaka b'rishayna, they say. Because the focus of our Mishnah is about the tekiya that you're blowing after the trua and the tekiya that you're blowing before the next trua. Why does the Mishnah have to speak about the taka b'rishayna? Of course that tekiya, if you did it properly, you were yoitza. The answer is that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that tekiya, that's the only tekiya you yoitza with. But the tekiya, both tekiyas that you have to make now, since you didn't make them properly, because you intended to make one long tekiya to cover two tekiyas, the halach is you're not yoitza either of those tekiyas. Misha Berach. If somebody said the Shmon Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, which, as we learned earlier, includes saying Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofaris, and then he didn't have a Shofar. So the halach is if you didn't have a Shofar, you say Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofaris. Vakach, Nisman Aloy Shofar. And then he gets a Shofar. The halach is you don't have to read Davin Shmon Esrei. You just blow the shofar. That, and as the Turi Evan explains, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that we would think that Malchus, Zechronus, Shofaris have to go together with the shofar, and therefore you should have to daven over again. Teaches us the Mishnah that we need not daven over again. And then teaches us the Mishnah, Shem Shashlich Tzibur Chayiv, just like the Shlich Tzibur is obligated to say the Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofaris on Rosh Hashanah, Kach Kol Yochid V'Yochid Chayiv, so too is the halacha that every individual, when he has to daven independently on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Gamliel disagrees, and he says, Shlich Tzibur Moitzis Ramim, the Shlich Tzibur could blow for the entire tzibur. Meitzel Rabbim Dechavosam. So I saw that the Sefer Oitzer Chaim explains we have here a machloikus if everybody has to daven for themselves or if the shlich tzibur can be meitzel the tzibur. So the Oitzer Chaim says the question is how do we look at the tefillas on Rosh Hashanah? Because we've learned earlier that a bracha that is not a birchas hanenin, one person can be mitzi another person. Whereas a bracha, which is a birchas hanenin, one person cannot be mitzi another person. So we learned in Masecht Brachos, a discussion, why did Chazal institute tefillah? One opinion is connected to midim toknim, they connected the kabbonis. Another opinion was, avos toknim, Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov made them. If we say that it's connected the avos toknim, So what did our office, what did Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov institute? Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov instituted that every person is obligated on Rosh Hashanah, is obligated to daven. If every person has his own obligation to daven, so now we could understand why the Mishnah says that everybody has to blow the daven individually, because that's what our office instituted, that each one of us should daven individually. But if, on the other hand, we're going to understand that tefillah was made connected to midim, so when we speak about kabbonis, not every person had to bring the carbon tamid. The carbon tamid was brought for all of Klal Yisrael. Since the carbon tamid was brought for all of Klal Yisrael, one person, just like one carbon sufficed for all of Klal Yisrael, one person, the Baal Tefillah, says Rav Gamliel, davening is enough to be mitzi everyone else.